Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. I do this through cooking classes, an online cookbook, lectures and workshops, articles and essays, this podcast, and a cooking DVD. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know if you look at these things, but I do. On iTunes, Vegetarian Food for Thought, this podcast, Food for Thought, is the number one. Sometimes it fluctuates between one and two, but it's pretty much been, I've noticed, the number one vegetarian, the number one vegan, and the number one animal rights podcast when you type in any of those keywords. And it's the number four nutrition podcast on iTunes, which is amazing. Thank you. It's really thanks to all of you who are finding this podcast and spreading the word and posting comments on iTunes and putting links to Compassionate Cooks up on your websites and blogs and subscribing, which I promised I would hound you about. So do subscribe to the podcast. Don't just download the files. And I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but I also have a page on myspace.com, which I think you can just find by typing in Compassionate Cooks. And this just helps increase people's awareness about our work as well. So thank you so much. It's just amazing. And your comments on iTunes and your emails keep blowing me away. They just blow me away. Absolutely blow me away. I'm blown away. Seriously, I mean, if you've ever thought for 1 minute that there isn't hope, I really invite you to check out the comments at iTunes or at the Sponsor the Podcast page on my website, which you can do by clicking on Sponsor the Podcast from the homepage, CompassionateCooks.com. And while you're there, perhaps you will consider sponsoring the podcast. Today's podcast is generously sponsored by Omar, who sent me such an incredible email. Let me read you just a little bit of it. Thank you so much for your website and your podcast. My boyfriend and I finally woke up and decided to become vegan because of the encouragement of these podcasts. It's been hard adjusting to the new lifestyle, but it's worth it once you know about the way the animals are treated and about all the different facts you talk about in your podcast. You just can't pretend you don't know anymore. I would like to dedicate my sponsorship to my boyfriend, Nick, for introducing me to veganism. Today is our 1 year anniversary, and he is a precious thing. Isn't that sweet? I realize it's past your anniversary at this point, Omar, but happy anniversary, and your 1 year anniversary will forever be memorialized on this podcast. So thank you. Thank you to you both. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at podcast@compassionatecooks.com. A number of you have written and asked me, as a result of hearing some of the things we talk about on the podcast, to talk about what else you can do beyond just stopping eating animals and animal secretions. You want to do more, and I commend you. We need you. The animals need you, and there is much work to do. But in another show, we'll talk about the specific things you can do. First, I want to talk about processing all of this information about the cruelty inflicted upon animals. It's very difficult to take all of this in and then make this lifestyle change and then go out into the world to make a difference. It's possible, of course. I mean, I encourage you to do it. But I first want to just talk about kind of the steps in between the learning and the doing. There's the being, the processing of all of this. And I think we need to know a little bit more about who we are and where we are before we can go work on behalf of others. We need to adjust our sight, as you will, to the new lenses through which we're looking at the world. When we know where we're coming from, we have a better idea of where we're going. So let me explain what I mean by that. One of my first suggestions to people when they're taking all of this in is to create your intentions, is to know what your intentions are. And I'll give you an example. Whenever I set out to speak on behalf of animals, it's helpful for me to know what my intention is every time before I teach a class or write this podcast or write an article or essay or answer someone's question, even just in conversation. Anything I do, I make sure I know what my intention is each time. And it's pretty much the same. My intention is always to raise awareness about the suffering of animals, to be their voice, and to speak my truth. Whatever someone does with that isn't mine. If someone responds favorably, it's not mine. If someone responds unfavorably, it's also not mine, it's theirs. I believe that we're here to be teachers to one another, and I'm very grateful to be a conduit for this information. I think that's all any of us are. That's why I've said in previous episodes that if we don't speak our truth, we're not only missing out on our own development and our own purpose, if you will, for being here, but we're also denying someone else theirs. So back to my intention that it's to raise awareness about the suffering of animals, to be their voice and to speak my truth. You notice that my intention is not to make the world vegan. My intention is not to get this person, whoever I'm talking to change his or her mind. If those were my intentions, I would fail every time. I would fail because it's not my role to make anyone do anything. All I can do is speak the truth, and it's that truth that inspires others to act on their own values. That's why I don't like the word convert. People ask me if I convert people. So how many people have you converted? I don't like the word convert. I like the word inspire. We inspire one another. And the literal meaning of inspire is to breathe into. And that's the root of the word inspire, to breathe into. And I think that's what we do for one another. We breathe new ideas. We breathe new life into one another, particularly when it's about a subject we've been, you know, deadened to. It really does feel like fresh breath, fresh air being pumped into us for the first time. So that's the first thing I would recommend, is that we know what our intentions are. And trust me, I mean, this takes all the pressure off, because you're not setting out with any agenda, and you're not setting out with any particular goal. You don't have an expectation of the outcome. You're not setting out to change anyone. You're just setting out to tell the truth. And I think all of us can do that. First, I think we have to find out what our truth is. So that's my first suggestion to new activists or anyone who's called upon to speak on the animal's behalf. And I think that's pretty much everybody who develops a consciousness around animals, or who becomes vegetarian and vegan. And we're asked to talk about it all the time, whether we like it or not. So might I suggest that you learn to like it? Because if you don't speak for them, who will? You will be asked. And I think it's our responsibility to speak for them. That's just my personal opinion. I think to advocate for animals and on behalf of veganism is to advocate for nonviolence, to advocate for peace, peace in the world, peace in others, human and non-human. And not surprisingly, peace is the byproduct of this lifestyle. It's incredible. Peace is what you give, peace is what you choose, peace is what you create, and peace is what you get back. I never bargained for that. I wasn't looking for it. It was an unexpected gift, and I know many others experience this as well. There's a very deep peace of mind that comes from disconnecting yourself with the violence that's inherent in turning beautiful, living, feeling, breathing lives into butchered bodies. The scenes that take place in slaughterhouses and on feedlots and auctions and in processing plants, on factory farms, in small farms, at egg hatcheries, at insemination facilities, things we don't even know that's going on, they're beyond our worst nightmares. They're beyond our worst imaginings. That's why we don't want to look. That's why we don't. That's why we pay others to do it for us, paying anonymous labor to kill anonymous victims of our appetites. That's why those who do pick up the blade do so with a closed heart, a desensitized conscience. You have to do that. You have to desensitize yourself in order to enable yourself, allow yourself to do that, because it's ugly and it's brutal and it's bloody and it's pointless. To say no to that, to remove yourself from that horror, to remove yourself from that nightmare, releases you from that burden of guilt that so many of us have. So many of us experience on a low level, like that kind of low, constant, underlying hum that causes us to make every excuse in the book to justify our actions, to release us from our complicity in it, the hum that causes us to say we feel okay about eating animals because we pray over their corpses in order to honor the sacrifice they made for us, a sacrifice the animal had no part in, no choice in. No prayer I ever said over their dismembered bodies exonerated me from the part I played. didn't bring them back, didn't reduce their suffering. No excuse I ever made washed the blood from my hands, and I only felt free when I stopped eating them, and that's the truth. I felt like a weight had been lifted, and I felt lighter, and I still carry that with me every day. It's a really, really amazing feeling that's indescribable until you experience it yourself. And recently, I received a very moving email from a woman named Erin who articulated this very experience, and I hope you don't mind if I just read some of it to you. I think you'll find it as inspiring and moving as I do. She wrote, "Dear Colleen, I want to sincerely thank you for changing my life. About 5 days before Thanksgiving, I listened to all your podcasts on a long car ride. I arrived at my destination vegan. When I decided to listen based on my sister's recommendation, I thought there was a chance I might try vegetarian, but I did not expect what I heard." She goes on to talk about the experience and frustration she's had thus far talking to people about how she sees things now, and she continues. "Here's one more thing. The peace. I feel like a gentler, happier, kinder person. I laugh more. I feel great every day. It doesn't matter how totally corny this sounds, although I acknowledge that it does. The connection between eating animals and the absence of world peace seems pretty obvious to me. It's true. If every individual could feel this at peace, the world would definitely be a very different place. I wish there were a bigger way to say thank you." I, too, as I wrote to Erin, believe that the absence of world peace, peace among nations, peace between each other, just neighbors, just family members, is deeply connected with our violence towards animals. I would even go a step further and say that our violence towards others is rooted in our violence towards animals. Our violence towards animals causes very, very deep psychic damage. And that's what we bring to the world. That's what we bring to our communities, to our families, to ourselves. You know, this is very difficult work. There are many different types of activism, but it's very difficult work. Bearing witness to so much cruelty and suffering is traumatic, literally. People have done studies that indicate that activists who are exposed to the kind of violence inflicted upon animals experience trauma, literally trauma. Burnout is very common among activists, animal activists, other social justice activists, I acknowledge. And many become jaded and hopeless, and many become angry. And why shouldn't we be angry? Corporate greed and personal convenience and personal pleasure drive the institutionalized use and abuse of billions and billions of non-human animals all over the world. We live in a world where it's considered normal to champion this, normal to accept this, and it's considered crazy or radical to oppose it. We live in a country where our government just passed the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act, meaning anyone who hinders the profits of an industry that exploits animals can be charged as a felon and sent to prison. 6 American citizens were just sent to prison under this very act, the longest sentence being 6 years. Of course people are angry. And anger isn't a dirty word. We've made it out to be a dirty word. Anger is a very real emotion. It's what we do with it that will make or break us. So my next suggestion is, not only do I encourage you to embrace the peace that comes with this new found lifestyle, I encourage you to identify what might be anger, accept anger as part of the process. Don't be afraid of the anger. Don't try to suppress the anger or label it as wrong. Embrace the anger as much as you embrace the peace. Now, having said that, I think it's very important to note that the root of the word anger, do you know what the root of the word anger is? It's fascinating. It's sorrow. The root of the word anger is sorrow, anguish, torment, deep grief. In fact, its earliest roots refer to something being painfully constricted, a strangling, a narrowing, a squeezing, a throttling. It's anguish. It's utter anguish. And that's what most of us feel when we see what happens to the animals on our behalf, anguish. And as you may have guessed, anguish and anger share the same root. So if we reframe anger and we see it in its proper context, I think you'll agree with me that there isn't a contradiction between the peace that comes from eating non-violently and the anger that you feel as the result of so much abuse. The key is transforming the anger into action, It's easy to become cynical and disheartened and hopeless, but that doesn't do anyone any good. Anger can be a great motivator, but I would encourage you not to dwell there. So how do you do that? How do you not dwell in the sorrow? There's so much. How do you not dwell in the anguish and the grief? And I think the answer is through hope. So that's my next suggestion, is find hope. It's everywhere. Those of us who work with the public are in a very unique position because we get to see the change happening. I get to witness transformations in people, people changing their lives, people changing their minds, their habits, like Erin. And it's so incredible to see. And I can't begin to thank you for sharing your stories with me. Read the comments people send to me. Share your own story with someone else. Write down the stories of those who are now making a difference. Visit an animal sanctuary. Read stories about animals on the website of sanctuaries. You want hope? Go visit a website called rollingdogranch.org. It's a nonprofit organization called Rolling Dog Ranch Sanctuary. And read some of the stories of these animals. Visit peacefulprairie.org and do the same. Watch the film The Witness, the documentary by Tribe of Heart, tribeofheart.org, tribeofheart.org. Ask other vegetarians and vegans their stories and hear what their moments of epiphany were. Seek out the hope. If you don't look for it, you won't know it's there, and it's there. I couldn't do this work if I wasn't carried by hope. I'd be a puddle, and it's hope that carries me. One of the things that inevitably happens to us when we go out into the world newly awakened by this animal consciousness, if you will, is that we're so acutely aware of all the animal exploitation everywhere that we may become easily frustrated or angry by those around us who are participating in it. It's a natural response. We're looking at the world through an entirely different lens, and we want to shake everyone and make them see what we see. But I can tell you that if you shake them, you will neither make many friends, nor will you keep many of the friends you have. You will neither inspire people, nor will you be doing yourself any good. So what I suggest is that we have to remember that we too were once unaware. We were once sleeping. We absolutely have to remember that. We have to remember that there was a time we didn't know. And we have to remember that every seed we plant has the potential to grow. If we have a conversation with someone, that might be enough. I have an essay. I don't know if I did a podcast on it, but there was definitely an essay on my blog called The Vegan in the Room. There is so much power in just being the vegan, just being the one with the animal consciousness. There is so much power in that, whether or not you have a conversation with someone. And I guarantee you will have a conversation with someone about it. Once we plant a seed, we might help water it, we might help nurture it, we might help fertilize it, but we have absolutely no control over the outcome. So we absolutely must remember our story and just be patient with people. That doesn't mean patience isn't complacency. Patience isn't approval for cruelty. You know, there is a fine line, and we have to find that. That doesn't mean we tolerate speciesism. That doesn't mean we tolerate cruelty. It means that we understand that we were once in that place too. Because if we forget our own stories and our own process, we lose our humility. And in doing so, we risk becoming arrogant, and we risk becoming bitter. And bitterness is anger that has been dwelled upon. Remembering our stories is so important, but so is telling our stories and hearing other people's stories. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we connect with other like-minded people. I've made the suggestion in other podcasts, so hopefully you've taken it by now. Find vegan meetups in your area. Start a vegan meetup. Start a potluck. Have a cooking party. Volunteer with a local animal group. Volunteer with a local vegetarian group. And when you meet like-minded people, ask them to tell you their story. Tell them your story, your first memory of animals in your life, your connection with animals, your lack of connection with animals, what your parents taught you, what you were taught was animals' role in our society, when you began to think differently, who your inspirations were, who your mentors are. We can gain so much insight from one another, but first we have to find each other. Okay, so let me just recap. These are my suggestions for learning to live as newly awakened people in a world that is sleeping. First, know your intention and remain unattached to the outcome. Second, first comes peace, then comes anger. Embrace both. Third, find the hope. Fourth, remember your story. And fifth, share your story and listen to other people's stories. Find like-minded people and connect with them. Thank you again, Omar, for your support. And thank you, Nick, for introducing Omar to veganism. If you are enjoying these podcasts or finding them helpful in any way, please visit CompassionateCooks.com and click on Support Our Podcast. Anything you can do to help me continue this work is much appreciated. Thank you, everyone, for your past and future support. On behalf of the billions of animals who are right now at the mercy of humans, and on behalf of the billions of humans who have the capacity to show mercy, this is Colleen from Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.